Welcome to this week's presentation of Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Please join us for the next half hour for what we pray will be an edifying time of thoughtful discussion and helpful dialogue on contemporary issues involving the precious truth of God's Word. Your hosts today are Pastors Ken Billings and Tim Goad.
Well, good morning again.
Good morning, Pastor
Tim. We've been absent.
Good morning, San Antonio.
We've been absent for several months now. And
I don't even know how long.
I don't know.
It's been like since November, October?
I think so.
We've been absent for a good cause.
Yes. Yes, we've been absent for a good cause. We were able to actually send a missionary to China. And that seemed at the time to be the wisest expenditure of our funds. But now we're back on the air, and we're glad to be here.
But we haven't just ignored the missionary to China. He is still there.
He is still there, and he is still being supported by Free Grace Baptist Church.
Yes.
It's just that we came into a series of providences that allowed us to be back on the air.
And we're happy to be back with KSLR.
That's right. That's right. Let's jump right in. Let's tell the folks what we're going to do this morning.
Should we tell them who we are? Hi.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm Pastor Tim Goad.
And I'm Pastor Ken Billings.
I'm just Kenny.
Yep. And he, once again, did not make the intro, so we're going to fix that, though.
We're never going to fix it.
Yeah, we're going to have Mr. Radio Man include you since, yeah.
He's also featuring.
Featuring.
There you go.
Yeah, our guest speaker. Perpetual guest speaker.
That's fine.
Let's get started here. We're actually going to embark on a new study. We're not actually going to be reading this book. We are going to be doing an examination of this particular book by John MacArthur. It's a very controversial book, at least it was back in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. It's The Gospel According to Jesus.
Yes.
It's very interesting to note that there are those out there who have a problem with Jesus being Lord. They have no problem, you know, naming the name of Christ as Savior. But when you insist that he must also be your Lord, for some reason people have a problem with that. So we're going to talk about that. I think the jumping off point here, at least in the preface to his original edition, which was written back in 1988, he uses the scripture Titus 2:11-12, which says, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." I think that, again, that's something that's missed by a great number of people. Let me tell you just a little bit about this book before we go ahead and get started. It was written, as I said, in 1988. It was 4 years in the making, actually a little longer than that, because it was written largely on the basis of John MacArthur's work in the Gospel of Matthew.
Right.
He worked on preaching through the book of Matthew for some 7.5 years, 226-plus sermons in the book of Matthew, and this book is kind of the result of all that work. So,
right.
What we're going to do each week, we're going to come here and we're going to be discussing what we discover in this book as we read it together off air. And we want to do this for two reasons. Number one, we want to restate and clarify many of those controversial ideas presented in the book. And number two, we want to show the relevance of these truths, not because we're John MacArthur supporters per se, which we are, but because we feel that they are wholly biblical.
Right. This morning when we were driving in to the studio, I was talking with my dad about this the lordship controversy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm not in the circles anymore, you know, the Arminian kind of fundamentalist circles, so I'm not sure how prevalent the view is still today of just saying you can have Jesus as your Savior but not as your Lord.
Right.
But still, even if somebody doesn't say that specifically,
right,
still the idea of not having to submit to God or living a life that kind of shows that you're not really living in obedience to God is still prevalent. So whether or not somebody would actually say as clearly as they used to, you do not have to have Jesus as your Lord, people still live that way. And that's really the point of his book, living a life of submission and obedience to the Lord, Jesus.
No, and I would just add that John in his introduction is very clear by using various scriptures that prove the point that it's ludicrous to even suggest that one can have Jesus as their Savior and not have him as their Lord at the same time. And he uses a plethora of verses to prove the point. And I think we'll probably get into those.
Yeah. Let me just read something that's in the preface to the anniversary edition that I thought was very good in setting us up here. He says, "What grabbed my attention from the start," and he's talking about the start of his studies in Matthew, "was how different Jesus' evangelistic strategy was from all the popular approaches of the past two or three generations. Modern and postmodern evangelicalism has aimed at making the gospel sound as easy and appealing as possible. Jesus' evangelistic approach was exactly the opposite. He responded to people's queries about how to gain eternal life by making salvation sound well-nigh impossible, because for fallen sinners who are trying to save themselves, it is impossible."
Yeah.
And I think that's really at the crux of the issue. I think it's just a matter of people being convinced that they can save themselves.
Well, it's kind of interesting. There's so many times in the ministry of Christ, and I'm sure we'll get into these particulars as we go through mm-hmm. the book, where Jesus discourages followers from following him.
Exactly.
I mean, he specifically and purposefully discourages and tries to convince men and women, I suppose, to leave him.
Right.
The rich young ruler comes to mind, and I know there's a chapter in this book on that. And then there are various times where he tells people to stop following him.
Exactly.
That you can't follow me.
Exactly.
And how different that is from modern evangelical, you know, churches.
But that's not to say, Ken, that we encourage or discourage people from following Christ.
No.
What's the difference? How could Christ get away with that and we can't do that? Does anybody know?
Well, Christ could see the hearts of the people.
Ah, there
well.
You go.
Yeah, we're not discouraging anybody.
Yes.
Yeah, and John MacArthur uses, especially in the introduction and other parts of his preface, the distinction between kurios, Lord, and despotes, Master. And he does a great job in explaining the difference between the two mm-hmm. and how
yes.
Jesus is, in fact, Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. So, anyway, John goes on to say that the debate concerning the ideas presented in this book may well be reignited, especially as the emerging church movement continues to propose scaled-back redefinitions of what it means to believe in Christ mm-hmm. and to be a Christian. Let's talk about this for just a minute. For those in our audience who are not familiar with this terminology, what is the emerging or emergent movement, and why should we be concerned with it?
Well, it's really just a movement that's just repackaging the same old errors and heresies from, you know, the last, you know, the centuries gone by. It in many cases they usually deny the inspiration of Scripture. They kind of redefine who Christ is, especially in relationship to us, redefine
right.
what the church is, and,
right.
and redefine hell as what we've, if anybody's read the book by Rob Bell recently. So that's usually what some of their principal beliefs.
Exactly.
And on top of that, they use the term repackaging.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, and that's very important, too, because a lot of this stuff is hidden in their terminology. It's
yeah.
like almost like a secret society where code words are used so they'll know when they're talking to one another and so
yeah.
on and so forth. But I would say they're really identified by two things. Well, three things. One is pragmatism. Mm. You know, the means justify the ends. They believe that you can do anything in order to win people to Christ as long as it's not sinful.
Mm-hmm.
We would kind of disagree with that. We do believe that there's a method presented clearly in the Scriptures of how people come to the Lord. These are the people, though, who will resort to pulling out all the stops just to see that people are saved. The second thing is New Age syncretism.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid to bring in other elements of other religions and other faiths, and it's interdenominational, and it's a lot of times ecumenical even. You know, they do things with contemplative spirituality and meditation,
right.
and it's just full of this New Age syncretism.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar with what syncretism is, it was really the Colossian heresy, bringing in all of these other religious ideals and ideas in order to form one palatable religion.
Right.
One that everybody could accept. That's the emerging church. Also, they have a de-emphasis on doctrine, as you said, mm-hmm. and they tend to focus more on feelings.
Right.
You know.
And that, I think, is expressed in their contemporary worship, bringing in worldly music, worldly, you know, worldly worship.
Exactly.
Well, it's just a focus on emotion as opposed to truth and doctrine.
Right,
because we're not saying there's anything wrong with modern music. It's just that it's how you appropriate that and use it in your church. If you're using it just to titillate the senses, so to speak, or to arouse the feelings of people, that's
not right. Well, truth has to be central. Truth and preaching have to have the center stage. And in many of the emerging churches and modern churches, that's just not the focus.
Exactly. And in saying all this, what they've really gotten away from is this lordship of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, Ken, as you pointed out, you know, he is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all.
Right.
And that's really the focus of this book, lordship salvation, the lordship controversy. Now, many equate this controversy, as we read in the introduction and the prefaces in this book. This book has like three different prefaces or prefaces, which...
Prefaces.
Yeah. Anyway, the main focus in each of these tends to be an emphasis on how many people equate lordship salvation with salvation by works.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's not what we're saying at all. How do you differentiate between the two? I mean, how is lordship salvation not an emphasis on works?
Well, we're not saying that a person is saved by their works.
Okay.
We're simply saying that once a person is saved, there will be works, there will be obedience, there will be faithfulness that proves the work of Christ in the heart already.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what we're saying.
Yeah, and his argument throughout the preface is those who would... conclude that if you suggest you have to, quote, make Jesus your Lord, then you are, in fact, entering into some kind of a works for salvation mentality, which, of course, is completely unbiblical.
Yeah, that's true. Would it be fair to say, then, that our obedience to the Lord is not a work but a fruit?
Yeah.
It's a byproduct.
Well, MacArthur says, anticipating that very charge, he says, I expect, for example, that someone will accuse me of teaching salvation by works.
Yep.
Let me say as clearly as possible right now that salvation is by God's sovereign grace and grace alone. Nothing a lost, degenerate, spiritually dead sinner can do will in any way contribute to salvation. Saving faith, repentance, commitment, and obedience are all divine works wrought by the Holy Spirit in the heart of everyone who is saved.
That's so true.
But I'm sorry, then he says, but I do believe without apology that real salvation cannot and will not fail to produce works of righteousness in the life of the true believer.
So in salvation, the Lord gives us both the desire or the will to do what he has commanded as well as the means to do so.
Right. Yeah.
MacArthur even says in the preface to his first edition, he says, true salvation produces a heart that voluntarily responds to the ever-wakening reality of Christ's lordship. So I think that's where people get messed up too. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about a pig. I know that's kind of silly, but, you know, how hard does a pig have to work at being a pig?
Not hard.
Not hard at all. Why? Because he's a pig. He does those things that are inherent to his nature. He does those things which come natural to him. I'm not equating believers with pigs. I'm just saying that believers in much the same way.
Sheep analogy, because then you could make that connection.
Pigs are much more interesting to me than sheep. But, you know, sheep are pretty boring.
I'm interested only in pig when it's on my breakfast table.
There you go. But what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of the things that, let's just use any animal. You know, they are what they are because that's innately what they are. When the Christian receives new life in Christ, we are not our old self.
Right.
We are new. And we do what comes natural to us. Right. We don't do these things because we think we'll earn something. So,
right. To use the pig analogy, we don't waller in the mire.
Waller?
Is that
the same as wallow?
Yeah, wallow in the mire.
Waller in the mire. What? You just, you know, I'm the one from West Virginia.
I should be using that term.
I said to somebody the other day, I come from Gary Holler.
Okay.
And they said, don't you mean Gary Hollow? I'm like, well, no, in West Virginia, it's Gary Holler.
Yeah, you guys are You guys need to learn how. Need to learn how to talk.
The O W is it's not er.
No.
Okay. It's O.
Yeah. Although I have sat on many a holler log too. So. Oh, alas, we digress once again.
Just let me, guys. Just tell me when you guys are ready to get back to the book.
We're not like 15 minutes into this broadcast, and we're already, waxing eloquent on things that don't matter at all. Yeah.
So I guess to kind of bring us, but can I bring us back on task here?
You can.
The point, as he says in his introduction, and I guess it's our point as well, not only just with this series, but even being back on Truth Matters, is to try to explain what is the gospel.
Right.
And that's the way he begins his introduction. Is what is the gospel? What does it mean to be? How does a person become saved? And what does it mean to be saved? What does that entail in the life? Should there be a change? Is there a change? Or can you just be saved? Have Christ as your savior? Know that you're not going to go to hell, but then have it not have any effect on the way that we live?
Yeah.
And some people say there is not an effect, or there might not be an effect.
Right.
While we say there has to be some effect, maybe not as dramatic in every single person, but there's going to be a change in the inward as well as outward man.
Let me say something really serious here. And
that wasn't serious?
No, I mean, yeah, that was very serious. But I mean, as far as getting down to brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road, as far as how people think and how they believe, I can understand fully why this upsets people. I can. I think many who have prayed the prayer, many who have walked the aisle and believed themselves to be saved merely on the basis of their having done what the preacher told them to do that would guarantee their salvation. I think many of those people do not feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. They have no desire to be obedient to the Lord. So they're scared to death that salvation may actually require something of them that they don't feel. That's very serious, because what we have is a bunch of people walking around thinking that they're saved for all time and eternity. But they're not.
So you're saying that there are people who have written their name on a card and been told they're Christian and realize that their lives haven't changed at all, and so they're looking for a theology that justifies their
living their lifestyle.
Right.
It's the carnal Christian heresy.
Right. Yes.
You know, even preachers are now saying, well, he's just a carnal Christian. He's just not yet come into his own as far as his new self. Mm. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say about that, though? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Instantly, instantaneously.
Right. Old things are passed away.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is we know, and sadly to say it is true, that there is many false professions.
Right.
I mean, we can't get away from that. There are those who profess that they know him, but in works they deny him.
Exactly.
And that's just a reality that we have to face.
But then those people whose works deny him, they try to come up with a theology that justifies the fact that their works are not consistent with the Word of God. So they say, well, then it's possible that there's two types of Christians. There are those who have made Jesus their Lord and who kind of live more biblically. But then there's those of us who our lives aren't very consistent, but we're still Christians because of, you know, something we did when we were 4 or 5, or we walked the aisle, or raised our hand or something.
Which kind of loops back full circle to what you said about the first part of the introduction. What is the gospel? I mean, what is the gospel? Is the gospel merely telling someone, hey, I know a Savior and he can save you for all time and eternity, and all you have to do is provide me with a little intellectual assent that what I'm telling you is true?
Right.
You know.
We want our theology, we want our gospel to come from the Bible. We don't want it to come from our experience or from anything like that. That's what MacArthur says. He says, I want the doctrine I teach, and that I think we can all agree with that, to be purely biblical, growing out of Scripture itself rather than just conforming to some popular system of theology.
Right.
A particular theologian's view of this or that doctrine is only of incidental interest to me. All that really matters to me is what the Word of God says.
Right.
And I think we all agree with that wholeheartedly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He even says that more than 1.6 billion in the world today claim to be Christians. Can you imagine if 1.6 billion people in the world today were actually Christians? I mean, what would that be, a third of the world would be Christian if they were truly born again Christians? Can you imagine how the world would be affected by that?
It's probably closer to 1.6% of the world is actually a Christian, more than 1.6 billion.
Yeah, that's quite possible. Quite possible. Well, I think we've got 4 minutes left. Time has flown by already. rather than go on here, we can do this in the next broadcast. Yep. Let's just tell the people once again who we are. And Pastor Ken, who are we?
We are the Free Grace Baptist Church. We are located at 1801 Thorain Boulevard here in San Antonio, Texas. We have our services at 9:45, 11, and also 1:30 every Lord's Day. And we invite you to come.
And, Kenny, I believe we can be found on Facebook.
We can?
Yeah. If you go on to Facebook.
I don't have a Facebook account.
Okay. We'll talk about that offline.
But that still doesn't take away from the fact that Truth Matters is on Facebook.
Right. Yeah, just to let our audience know, simply because Kenny doesn't have a Facebook doesn't mean that we're not on Facebook. So he'll get one eventually.
You just go to Truth Matters, right?
Yeah, you can go into your Facebook account up in the little search block there. Just type in Truth Matters and voila, up we come. And click the like button if you like us. You can see the links to our broadcasts there. We're also on Sermon Audio. You can go to www.sermonaudio.com/Free Grace Baptist, and you'll also see not only our broadcasts, but you'll also see all of our sermons.
You'll hear them. You won't see anything. You'll see them there, but
you'll see them there.
You won't get to see us preach or anything. Yeah. We're not that technologically advanced yet.
Yeah. Well, but you can see us preach if you'll come to Free Grace Baptist Church. If you're in the San Antonio area and you would like to stop by and give us a visit, then please, by all means, come by and
hear all of us preach on any given Sunday.
And if you want to communicate with us, there is a phone number that you can call. You can call my cell, which is 771-8224. Don't normally like to give that out, but we did it anyways.
That's brave.
I know. But if you want to call and get directions and information, you feel free to call me, and I'll give you all the information you need.
Yeah, and we do have a website, too. You can go to www.freegracebaptist.org, and you'll find our website. And on that website, you'll find what we believe, what our affiliations are, some of the links to sites that we really like. And
we have a Twitter account. We have everything else going on here.
I don't tweet. No. So okay. I think that's useless. I don't follow people's every move, and I don't want
to be advanced like some of the other churches. We need to get a Twitter account.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Hey, and bottom line, we're on the radio again.
We are on the radio, and we really, really would like to thank KSLR, AM 630 KSLR, for allowing us to come back on the air, giving us an opportunity to reach out to everyone once again. And this time, I think we're going to stay. I really think this is important.
And thanks to all of you who called in asking for us.
Well, exactly.
The handful of you. I like to pretend that there was a lot more. There was just a citywide outrage when we left, but thanks for those who did call in.
Exactly.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. Well, that's it for today's broadcast. Guys, it's been fun.
It's been fun.
We'll pick back up on this next week. I think we'll dive right in. We won't have near the pre-show chatter that we had today, but we just wanted to get back into the saddle, and off we go. So, we enjoy doing this, and we enjoy even more the fact that you're out there listening to us.
That is right.
So we'll see you next time.
All right.
All right. See you. Bye.
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Free Grace Baptist Church is located at 1801 Thorain Boulevard. Meeting times each Lord's Day are 9:45 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1:30 p.m. Our weekly prayer meetings are held each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. If you would like to visit on the web, you can find us at freegracebaptist.org. Thank you again for listening, and may God continue to richly bless you through the faithful study of His Word.